the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K26. It is myself, Mo Mutsi, alongside me as always, the legend, Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how was your weekend?
It was unbelievable, Mo. This time of year, still sunny skies and still some nice warm weather, baby.
So brother,
we're in good shape.
Oh, nothing but gray clouds and rain.
Yeah, I watched a couple of premier games yesterday.
Oh, man. But they've got the NFL in town this weekend. There's an NFL game going on in Wembley Stadium. They had it at Tottenham Stadium last week. The NFL's doing a lot to come over here.
Well, it's a great market for them for two reasons. I think the European fans, especially in England, love the game, but also I think our American U.S. citizens love to travel there. Mm. So, you know, you have the combination of, you know, which is great.
Yeah, and then, of course, the talk around NBA Europe League, which I'm sure we'll dive into in a future episode. I don't want to get in trouble by saying too much right now, Coach. You know what I mean?
No. I've been reading a lot of comments this weekend, and our friends that are in the Euro League are getting a little sensitive now. Some of the guys are saying, sounds like it's interesting. We got to keep an open mind. And others are saying, they're not going to come in here and take that. The NBA is undefeated.
Only time will tell.
When they want something, they get it.
Absolutely.
they are
undefeated.
They're coming there.
Yep. It's not a question of if, it's when.
Yeah. If you're going to be with them, that's another story, but they will be there in a very large shape and form because they have phenomenal resources and they know how to market. They know how to get things on television. They know how to present a product like no other. The NFL and the NBA are the premier sports marketing, you know, things. They can pull off monstrous events. They really are fantastic at that.
Absolutely. Well, the NBA season is beginning this week. Can you believe it? The offseason has already flown by. So we're starting to find some rhythm in this show. We had Larry Nance Jr. on the show last week. Coach, you didn't have a chance to make it to the conversation we had. You had some things in your schedule.
Yeah. But
what do you think about what Larry was talking about?
Well, I've known Larry for a long time. I know his dad. His dad was such a great player. And ironically, one of my best friends here in the States, an absolutely incredible coach, Larry Shiat, was Larry Nance Sr.'s coach at Clemson and then Junior's coach at Wyoming. Mm. How about that?
Yeah.
Same person, head coach.
Family.
Yeah, and so they're very close. And the thing I can say, and Larry, you know, was last year in New Orleans with the Pelicans, and anywhere he goes, he's one of the most community-minded people there is. And also, he and his wife, I think, just do a great job of showing their gratitude and appreciation for what they've worked so hard for, but want to now share and help others. That's what I love about him. He's
Absolutely.
All about the right things.
Yeah. Well, we've got another special guest coming on Thursday's episode, and we might give you a clue at the end of the show, but before we get to
that. Yeah.
Before we get to that, the season is starting very, very soon. So I thought it's only right we get into our predictions for this season. And as this show is brought to you by NBA 2K26, it's only right to let you know that NBA 2K26 have simulated the season, being the most realistic basketball simulation game in the world. And they have got a finals matchup. You ready for this, Coach? They've got OKC beating the Denver Nuggets 4-2 in the Western Conference Finals, headed to the finals where they face the New York Knicks, who defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers 4-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals. What's your take on that? Do you agree?
I think it's very realistic, but I think the biggest thing that, having experienced 47 years of being involved in this league, is that you never know what the hell's going to happen around the corner. I mean, you know, injuries are, you know, a year ago, I remember on some shows that rivaled yours, is that they predicted that the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid and Paul George and I love Maxie, were going to be like the team to beat.
I think I had them as the 8 seed last season.
But on paper, you can see where they're going.
Yeah,
you know?
Same again this year.
And so I think, you know, and you just don't know what's going to happen. I'm most concerned about injuries. I'm not worried about people missing shots and not playing good defense. You know, the Dame Lillard situation, all of a sudden Giannis goes down at different times. the Celtics thing. Everyone last year had the Celtics in a repeat, which was very fair, which was very fair. And then they're up 20 points in the first two games at home and lose them. And then JT, who's just a phenomenal young all-pro star, tears his Achilles so unfortunately. So, I mean, this is the thing. But I look for, I think the hardest thing to do, having done it ourselves, is to repeat. It's the hardest thing. Because as my friend Pat Riley says, the disease of me sets in. Now, Sam Presti has tried to avert that by signing his three best players to max contracts. But there's Riley also refers to when a team's ascending to its first championship, like OKC did. He calls it the innocent climb, Mo, and that everyone is in it for the right reasons. Then all of a sudden, after you attain that, then the disease of me sets in. And it might not be the player. It might be his family. It might be his wife. It might be other out. It might be his friends, his outside guys. They're now want they want courtside seats. They didn't want to buy them. They just want courtside seats because they're friends with the best player. So all that stuff enters in. So I don't have OKC repeating, even though I think that, they have everything in place. I just don't have them repeating. I think the Houston Rockets are going to get to the finals. I think they've done a fabulous job, even with our guy Fred VanVleet out. I just think that, you've said it, Amen Thompson, Kevin Durant could be a nice backcourt. That would be unprecedented. The Shepherd kid is going to be a very good player, and they have really good leadership down there from Ime Udoka as well as Raphael Stone. So I have a feeling that these guys are hungry down there, and I can see them getting there.
Well, who do you have coming out of the East? How do you want to do this? You want to just
I
do your
have no
finals
damn
matchup?
I have no damn idea what's
Well,
happening in the East, but I'm saying I can see the Knicks doing it. But I think if you've never been to the final, Mike Brown has an advantage in that he's coached and won championships as an assistant coach, which is huge. So he knows the path to get there. And I think they've improved their team. But I just think that, it's a seven game series are really hard to win. I think it's really undecided there, but I think it's fair to say that they could make it.
okay, so let's frame it this way. If you had to
Sure.
rank your top three contenders from three to one, which three teams in the NBA are you looking at as championship contenders to win this
Championship
season?
or each
To
conference?
win it all, to in the whole NBA, if you had to bet, if you were a betting man on the
It,
top
which
three
which we're
teams,
not, it, which we're
absolutely
not.
not.
No, we're definitely not. So I'm gonna go to win it all. I'm going Minnesota, OKC, Houston.
Yeah.
Three from the West. Three from the
Okay,
West.
okay,
I think the
okay.
West is so loaded, and Denver could be four. I have not liked what I've seen in preseason that much from Denver, even though that they're fine. But I think they still have some huge gaps.
Okay, I'm putting the Knicks at three on my list
Sure, that's fair.
because not that I think there's teams in the West who are better than them. But I think the West is going to be such a bloodbath to get to the finals. Whereas in the East, because of the lack of competition this season, you might be in a situation where you've got a week off while the Western Conference Finals goes to a game seven, where you've got a chance to rest your players, injuries recover, and you get extra film to, base your schemes on for when you get to the NBA Finals, and it'll be a shorter turnaround for the team in the West. So I've got the Knicks as my favorite to win the East this season. Obviously, the Cavs are going to be strong. We spoke about the Magic and the Hawks last episode on last Monday's show, as dark horses, and then it's going to be interesting. But I think the Knicks are in the best position to win that Eastern Conference that's wide open this season. But then I have Denver at two on my list.
I could
As
see that.
impressive as they've not been in the preseason, I just think that man Nikola Jokic, no one has an answer for him. And I know you're super high on the Houston Rockets. My concern with the Houston Rockets that I need to see in the competitive set of 82 games, because I can't judge too much on preseason, is Fred VanVleet did such a good job of taking care of the basketball for them. And we know that Amen and Reed can both play that point guard position and they've got experience playing that position. But you've got to think about it. Fred is an NBA champion with so much experience in this league. These guys getting thrown in for their first reps as starters at the point guard position. I don't know if, Houston Rockets did such a great job on taking care of the basketball and offensive rebounding last season. I'm not worried about the offensive rebounding. I'm more worried on the turnovers at that guard position. That's the only
Oh,
question mark I
that.
have that I need to see to believe. I'm not saying they can't do it. I just need to see it first.
I think it's very fair. I think there's very fair. If you had to pick 10 teams, I don't know if we can do this, Mo, but do you have teams that you think could be playoff teams in the East or play in and playoff teams, 10 teams? Do you have that? Or have you, or the bottom five that won't make it? Whichever you think might be easier, I'm not sure.
In the Eastern Conference, the teams that I'm looking at to
Okay.
not make the
I
playoff
think
slash play in,
that's fair.
it's a
Yeah.
very short list. I'm thinking that, outside of the Knicks, the Cavs, the Pistons, that's three, Magic, Hawks, that's five. So those five teams I've got as locks for the playoffs, right? So that's my top five teams.
Yeah.
And then, we've got the Celtics, who are without Jason Tatum and without a bunch of their stars. But if you see the defense that they're playing in the preseason, it's such a high-risk strategy. We can dive into it in another episode. It's such a high-risk defensive strategy. It's either going to be amazing and everyone's going to be shocked that they're winning games, or it's going to be horrible because they're taking a lot of risk on a lot of these plays, trying to go for steals and extra help. So that could go one of two ways. The Pacers without Tyrese Haliburton, I want to see how Nembhard steps up. The Toronto Raptors, they've got something interesting building down there. I'm not fully sold on it yet, but I can see the potential in it. I've got the Chicago Bulls as a play-in team. I've penciled them in to be in the play-in for the rest of eternity. As long as I'm alive and beyond, I've just penciled them in as the 10 seed forevermore. The Brooklyn Nets, I don't have a I think they're going to be at the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I
They're at the
do
very
too.
bottom of the Eastern Conference. The Wizards have got a lot of young players that I really, really love. They've got some vets on their roster that can help mentor them as well. I don't know if they're ready yet this season, but they could fight for maybe that 10th seed spot.
I think their plan is to not be there, though.
The draft is
They
looking
have a
really
real
good.
strategy. I think their plan is to participate in a draft. It's a very good draft.
You've
Yeah.
got the Hornets as well, which is
I
always the
like
Charlotte
that.
Hornets.
One word with LaMelo Ball, if healthy, will be one of the five most exciting players in the league.
Oh, he's must watch. However, he only plays like half the games in a season, and that's the
I'm
problem.
saying if he's healthy, I say that's great.
The Bucks really fascinate me this season. They really fascinate me. I've got them as a playoff team, I guess, as maybe like the sixth seed. So I think they'll be pretty strong. But the only two teams I guess I can say for sure is the Wizards and the Nets and probably the Hornets. So I guess that's three teams that won't make it. After that, it's going to be a dogfight for those play-in spots, I reckon.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Like the Sixers are impossible to predict. They've added Edgecombe. McCain's got another year experience. They've got Maxey. They've got Embiid. They've got Paul George looking to redeem himself this season. They could be really good or they could all be injured and be really bad. We don't know. And I'm not sure what the protections are on their pick for this season's draft, but they might luck into another lottery pick if they get halfway through the year and everyone's out. But the East, I just think it's wide open. And as you say, injuries to any of these teams could be hugely devastated, especially if it's like a Donovan Mitchell, God forbid, or one of the top players for the Knicks, so on and so forth. That could derail some of the top teams that we're projecting to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think you're right on. Real bad injury to Jaden Ivey, who missed the last 49 games last year with a broken leg, getting hurt with his knee and out, for at least a month or two.
Yeah, and people underestimate, they've not given Duren a contract extension. They've not given Ivy an extension. So now these guys are playing for their next contract. So we might see huge years from them. We might see a breakdown in team chemistry if they're not happy that other guys have been paid and they've not. So it's wide open. But that's why at number one on my list to win the whole championship, I've actually got OKC going back to back
Yeah, no,
because
and I think
they've got
that's
another
what
year of experience.
I think that's what
They've
everyone
kept
in
the
the
core
league
together.
does.
They've paid everyone. And
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't, but I would not be surprised at all if they did, if that makes
And
sense.
And Sam Presti has done absolutely everything he could do. Absolutely, in my opinion. They have one of the three or four best coaches in the league for that team. I mean, Mark Daigneault is a perfect coach for that squad. But one thing that happens when you do win, the internal pressure among players and coaches to repeat becomes so huge. You're the one creating the pressure yourself. Not the fans, not the media, not your boss or owner. It's yourself to try to duplicate that. The other thing that's a factor, again, if you haven't gone through it, is when you play till late June, your summer is so short. And so that leads usually to possible injuries. And it happens many times. And that's what and it's just like the players that played in the Olympics last year. All the really great players, many of them got injured during the year.
Well, speaking of going back to back, though, the NBA 2K26 simulation has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going back to back as MVP of the NBA. Do you think that he can go back to back with so much
Oh,
talent in the league right now?
sure, but I don't think he will. I think it since it's not based on what he does statistically, it's based really on, people liking you, it's popularity to you. I look for Giannis, I look for Jokic, Anthony Edwards. I look for those guys, kind of someone kind of emerging, the new face, so to speak. I just look for that.
If you had to pick who you think is winning MVP, who have you got?
I would love to see Giannis or Jokic. I just think I personally think those are two of the very best players in the league. I just think they have a skill set like it was like when Larry Bird was when I was coaching against him, and I every year I thought that guy was the best player in the league. I mean, his skill set was so incredible, but after a while you just can't. It's and then when Jordan was playing. Every year you could have made Jordan the MVP, but they don't do that. So that's the only reason I think SGA is incredible.
I think there's a couple other names that we should mention. I
Sure.
think Luka Doncic is going to have a huge year, especially LeBron being out to start the season. I think he's going to put up great numbers and get a great media push behind him being playing for the Lakers now. I think if healthy, and some people will say this is too soon, but I think Victor Wembanyama will be in that conversation.
I would not be surprised. I love Wimby. I think he is the just like when we saw him, before he was drafted, that we saw him like 10 months before when he came over and played G League Night in Las Vegas, two games. Anyone that saw him play said this guy is the most incredible guy to come in the league in ages. I agree with it. Now we're seeing it. Now his physically is maturing. And then, look at what Giannis looked like when he was drafted into the NBA physically and look at him now. My God. And I think you look at Wimby, he looked like a little kid's thin shoulders. Now you're starting to see this guy. And I think San Antonio's going to be very underrated. I think they have a chance to really be good if everyone stays healthy. Really good.
Well, the MVP race and the winners have been dominated by international players, Shea being Canadian, Jokic being Serbian, Giannis
Sure.
being Greek. And, we talk about Victor Wembanyama and how great he's going to be and potentially a multiple-time MVP. You still got Giannis and Jokic who are in the mix for those conversations, Luka Doncic as well. When will we next have an American MVP and who do you think that will be?
Yeah. Wow. And what was that famous movie, E.T. Come Home? I don't know. I don't know when the hell we're going to see one. I really don't. I mean, we might have to wait till Cooper Flagg for crying out loud. I don't know. I think Anthony Edwards is the guy that really has a chance because of his personality. Man, I'll tell you, Steph is, right now he's too old to be one, but I think Donovan Mitchell has the charisma to be one, but I think Anthony Edwards is even at a little higher plateau. That's who I would say it would be. If we had one.
Do you think there's a world where the Cavs, just because of how bad the East is, the Cavs have such a dominant regular season and Donovan Mitchell is putting up these great numbers that he could find himself statistically in the MVP race, and if the Cavs are just completely dominant throughout the season, ultimately winning it.
I don't think they'll be as dominant as they were last year, honestly. I really don't. They had a couple of winning streaks that were unheard of, starting the season, I think 16 and 0 or whatever it was. Very hard. I mean, I don't see something like that happening. And injuries have already creeped into their roster and stuff. So, I think, but I think, sure, that's a fair possibility. I think the biggest thing with them is, having his backcourt partner, Garland out, and Ty Jerome won them a lot of games last year coming off the bench, and he's not there.
But Lonzo Ball's look pretty good.
Yeah, well, let's see Lonzo Ball stay healthy.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
hopefully.
mean,
Fingers crossed, because he's really struggled throughout his career.
yes, and that's the thing. When he plays, he's damn good as for a team, because you can really defend, and he knows how to play the position.
For the most improved player award, the NBA 2K26 simulation has Amen Thompson winning, who we've spoken about at length in the previous episode last Monday. So I wanted to get from you a couple other names that could be in the mix for most improved.
Well, that's hard. It's so hard for me right now, having not seen guys. And then what do we say is improved, right? Because sometimes guys that are literally NBA all-stars almost qualify because they keep getting better, And so I don't know, Mo. I really, when you pose that question to me, I'm a little, even though I was somewhat prepared for it, I really don't know. This one's going to sound crazy because he was an MVP in the playoffs. But I think Jaylen Brown, we're going to see if he can s improve and sustain something as of the man. His Robin Batman type of thing, Jason Tatum is pretty damn good, and Drew Holiday, pretty good. Losing their entire front line, pretty dang good. And now all of a sudden, he's got to step up for them to be competitive. We're going to see a lot about Jaylen. I know that's a kind of a weird pick. I know it's not going to be a guy like Brunson, that's for sure. I thought Cade Cunningham last year was absolutely incredible, and I thought he had been hurt, so I thought he was really, one of the most improved players in the league. I don't know. And before
I have
that,
a few
we had
names.
yeah, please.
I think, they've predicted Amen Thompson. I think Osar Thompson could be in the mix as well, because he had some health issues last season.
I was
And
just
I
going to
think,
say he's got to stay healthy. Yeah.
Amen's on a lot of people's radar, but Osar can really break out. I think Matas Pasveulis for the Chicago Bulls, I think he's primed and ready, and he's ready to run with that opportunity of the Bulls just being a bit bleh. So he could be in the mix as well. I think Reed Sheppard, after barely playing last season, if he's given that starting point guard role, he could also.
Sure.
He could also go up there and another guy, Bennedict Mathurin of the Pacers, because there's no Tyrese Haliburton playing them hard at the point, and Mathurin didn't get that contract extension that he wanted. I think playing for your contract and being on a team without their superstar, there's a lot of opportunities there for him to have some big scoring nights and really put himself at the forefront of people's minds now that they're watching more Pacers basketball.
Well, I love Canada. I love the players from Canada. And one thing about Benedict, no one has ever questioned his talent. It is off the charts. The thing that we look for is sustained consistency, being able to do that. And that is one of the things to really become a star in this league. You really have to do that on a night-by-night basis, not one out of 3 nights. So that'll be the thing that I want to see from him, given the starting role. Carlisle didn't even have tryouts. So my friend Rick just said, here you go, you're the starter. And that should help his confidence. So yes, he has the ability. Yes, he's in a position to improve. Let's see if he can have consistency.
Okay, well, the 2K simulation has Victor Wembanyama winning Defensive Player of the Year. The numbers on Wemby are insane. He led the league in blocks last season, despite a season ending at the start of February. He might be the third player, I believe joining, was it Marcus Camby and who was the other one in the last 20, 30 years to lead the season in blocks 3 years in a row. That like,
Wow.
there's too many stats to mention, right? Is the Defensive Player of the Year award Wembanyama's every year if he's healthy?
Yeah, except we again, he yes, except they won't give it to him. Okay, but yes, okay. The other players, is going to be Amen Thompson and Dyson Daniels. I think those guys are great defenders, and they do it, out on the floor. So I really think those kids are incredible. But I think Wimby has a chance to really, on the defensive end, really reinvent the game in some aspects.
Do you think that when it comes to the Defensive Player of the Year award, big men are an advantage compared to defensive guards? Because you listed two perimeter defenders primarily in
Sure.
Dyson Daniels and Amen Thompson, but we've seen
Absolutely.
historically, with the exception of, I guess, Marcus Smart a couple of years ago, the Defensive Player of the Year award is usually won by bigs in recent memory. Why do you think bigs have such an advantage when it comes to this?
Because of a couple of things, rebounds and block shots. That's it. It's not because they're playing good one-on-one defense in the post. No, they're coming over and they're erasing their teammates' mistakes. The only thing that gives Wimby a downside is that the style of play in the NBA is so much three-point shooting, which seems like everyone's shooting 40 three-pointers a night. They're scared to come in against him. So that's the only thing that will, if I'm playing against him, we're not going to the basket and taking layup attempts if he's in that vicinity at all. So I think it's going to be quite interesting to see. But that's the only thing. But I think that's why I think the bigs, and again, it's not picked by coaches or even players. It's picked by media people, and you know how you people are, you media people.
Yeah, I know they're media people. Another award that a lot of people think is a foregone conclusion, and NBA 2K26 has Cooper Flagg winning the Rookie of the Year award. He's looked amazing in the preseason, not just on offense, but on defense too. With Kyrie Irving out injured, he's going to have a lot more responsibility than he maybe would have otherwise in terms of playmaking for that Mavericks team. I think them playing him at the point guard position as well could be very interesting for his career. But are there any other names you think could sneak in and steal this award from Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you could have Dylan Harper, down in San Antonio. He's a terrific player. And Ace Bailey, came in with a notoriety. Edgecombe's going to start in Philadelphia. So anytime you're getting if you're starting getting minutes, you got a shot. You got a shot. If you're coming off the bench, you don't have a shot. So I think this, my opinion. So I think this is something that, is it all of a sudden you get amazing credibility with the officials and from people around the league. When you're a starter as a rookie, it's so hard to do in this league. So I think that's the big advantage. So any of the rookies that establish themselves as starters, I think they have a real shot.
As you are the coach of the coaches, the head of coaching you,
Yes.
I have to ask for your pick for coach of the year in the NBA this season.
I'll tell you what, and this is not a commercial for the Coaches Association. We have so many great coaches in this league, and everyone's dealt a different hand. Pop, it was a great coach in San Antonio, but his teams won all the time, so you get passed over. And so they take someone who's in a rebuild, and all of a sudden his team plays fairly well. He's the coach of the year, which is very valid. So I mean, it really is. I think like that Mark Daigneault got it 2 years ago. I think it was really deserved. But I think, when he had to win a championship last year, it was even harder, because everyone expected it because he had the best record in the league. So I think we have just so many people. We have a lot of young coaches in the league now. I think we're going to see some people emerge there. I'll tell you what, I didn't give any credit to them as a team, but I saw them play the other night. I really like the LA Clippers. I really like the Clippers. And here's why. They have put together Lawrence Frank, the president, they have put together a squad that has their second unit is one of the, if not the best in the league.
It could start on some teams. We talked about the
Oh,
Nets.
yeah. I mean, you're talking Robin Lopez,
Brook
the
Lopez, Brook
guys in the
Lopez.
set. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was thinking of Robin the other day. Brook Lopez, to have him as a backup is absolutely insane. And then to have Chris Paul, one of the all-time leaders in so many categories, to be a backup. I mean, and the other day I think I saw him get 10 assists in a game coming off the bench. That's kind of incredible to have guys like that. But here's why I like them. Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy might be the best coaching tandem in the league as a staff. Ty Lue is just a super young coach, but Jeff Van Gundy was one of the best head coaches in the league. He's the defense coordinator for the Clippers, and they are elite defensively now with their new infusion of talent. I think you're really going to see them, if they stay healthy, them being one of the final four teams, I think. They had, they seem to always get stuck, as we talked about the other day last week, with a bad matchup in the playoffs, last year Denver, But I'm telling you, this team really impressed me in preseason.
I think for coach of the year, though, I'm picking Mike Brown with the New York Knicks, purely because everyone's going to be watching the Knicks. I think the East being wide open, they can get a really good regular season record. And, Tibbs, I think, is a great coach, but he has a lot of critics in the media and amongst fans and so on and so forth. And simply being the guy who steps into his shoes, I think Mike Brown is a pretty good bet for winning coach of the year.
That's great. That's a great pick. Mike Brown will be the coach of the year if the Knicks win the East and win the championship.
Yeah, well, they decide awards before the
But they
playoffs.
award him. But if they're not the leader, he won't be, because that was the bar that you were brought in unfairly. But that's the bar you were brought in. You have to that. So
Absolutely.
I. But he's really good. I mean, Mike's good. He's proven. He knows what he's doing. But we have so many good coaches in this league.
How about sixth man of the year? Who have you got for that?
I think really the key thing is, what veteran can you get to come off the bench and play an unselfish role? And that's the guy that's going to be the sixth man of the year. You get a Jamal Crawford, who's a starter, what most prolific scorers in the league, to be unselfish, come off the bench and get 20 shots if he wants coming off the bench and be like your top two or three scorers. That's when you have a six man award. So I want to see, unfairly, I want to see who is going to come off the bench at some of these teams. Because basically, my opinion, it's going to be a guy that's a starter, that should be a starter.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Mavs have PJ Washington coming off the bench for them this season. Naz Reid, who won the award in 2024, he's always a solid shout for that. He's a starting
Sure.
caliber player who's coming off the bench.
Absolutely.
Any other names? Maybe Jordan Clarkson, who you talked about in last Monday's episode for the Knicks.
Yeah,
But
I
I don't
don't
know if
think
he'll get the amount of shots and the volume necessary. I also think an interesting one. It depends on how they do this, right? Because the Celtics had Peyton Pritchard win sixth man of the year last year. So I don't know who they're going to start with when the real games begin. But if Anthony Simons is coming off the bench for the Celtics, I think the award could be his.
It's interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If it's a guy like that, he could come off the bench and get 20 a game for you. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
You've got Ty Jerome as well in Memphis.
He's got hurt already.
He's
He's
already
out.
hurt. Man,
Yep.
this
All
is
three of their point guards are out.
Memphis, man. I don't know what's going on there. And a award that's not often spoken about, but executive of the year. When we look back at the end of the season, who do you think they'll say has made the best moves?
Nico Harrison, of course. You got
Yeah.
the first pick in the draft. No, again, I think, boy, that's a hard award, man. I think last year also, I think,
It was Sam
Kobe
Presti
Alt
last year, Brad Stevens the year before that.
and Kobe Altman, like in Cleveland a year ago, hired Kenny Atkinson. Yeah, heck of a move. He hired Kenny. And he re-signed, Donovan Mitchell, and his draft choices turned out good. He got Ty Jerome there on a minimum contract. I mean, he made all the right moves, but there can only be one. I think every year, I think it could be, many ways. If you asked a poll around the league of the owners, they would vote for Sam Presti and they would vote for Sean Marks, because they've accumulated the most assets for their future of their teams. Sean Marks, he's got an owner in Joe Theismann that's willing to bite the bullet right now, still plays a sold out arena, and say, we're getting this right for the future. And he's got a highly competent coach in Jordy Fernandez, the Olympic coach of Canada at, in the last Olympics, who can flat out coach, and was he was Mike Brown's defensive coordinator in Sacramento. That is biting the bullet really hard. He's a very competitive Spaniard, and he's biting it hard, but he knows it's for his future. And I think it'll pay off in the long run. I really do. They're getting awfully close as far as with their cap space of what it could be next year. And the draft choices they've accumulated are absolutely insane.
Well, this show on Mondays, we're going to be doing recaps of everything that happens around the league. So that's our predictions for the season, but there are things that have happened around the league this week that we do want to
Yeah.
discuss. But starting with coaching, from obviously your coaching background, and people forget that, or they might not even know in the first place that you were coaching the dream team at the Olympics for Team USA. Coach Erik Spoelstra has been named the new head coach of Team USA. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Erik Spoelstra is, every year he's coach of the year, in my opinion. He is that good. I've known Erik since he's 14 years old. He was our ball boy in Portland when we would go and play there. His daddy is the maybe the Mount Rushmore of sports executives in the NBA. The best marketer ever in the NBA is John Spoelstra, and John was the president of the New Jersey Nets when Chuck Daly and I coached there. And as a side note, Eric was a terrific player at the University of Portland, and he ended up playing professionally in Germany. And I went over to accept the job as the German Olympic coach for the 96 Olympics. And Eric Spoelstra met and took me around, and I ended up turning the job down. But Eric Spoelstra is so good at what he does. His humility is incredible, but his knowledge, his ability to coach people is so good. And that's what that job has to be. It has to be someone that can handle, can you imagine this? 12 corporations, 12 guys that are basically the CEOs of their company. Can you imagine having how to handle LeBron, how to handle Steph, how to, I mean, that's what you're dealing with. And this guy, I mean, is the perfect guy for it. I think he will, having experienced now the World Cup and the Olympics, I think he's really ready for it. Being Steve Kerr's assistant has really provided that for him. And now, he'll have a couple of summers, including a World Cup, to get them ready for the thing. The Los Angeles will be the game. Like Paris, all the NBA stars wanted to play in it. In LA, they're going to be fighting and tripping over each other to try to play on it. A good thing to have, but also a hard thing to manage.
Yeah, well, like
Eric can do it.
hopefully better than Steve Kerr. With the
Stop
way
that.
that he
Stop that.
handled
He's one of my
hey,
coaches. Stop that.
listen, you see the jersey right behind me, Mr. Jason Tatum. The way they handled Jason Tatum during that Olympic run, I just think there was better ways to do it. And it's not like they dominated the whole Olympics on their way to winning. They won by the skin of their teeth. So justice for Jason Tatum. But the key player for Team USA, Kevin Durant, who, after the last Olympics, everyone says, oh, well, the next Olympics, the USA is not going to have these old guys. Well, KD's still playing. And today he signed a 2-year contract extension. So the Olympics is in what year? 2028? 2028? Maybe KD's still playing by then because he signed a $90 million deal today to keep him playing for a total of 3 more years on his contract as it stands.
Yeah, I think KD and Carmelo Anthony may be the two best players we've had that I've seen for USA basketball. The best player on the Dream Team was not Michael, it was Charles Barkley. He was unguardable. They'd never seen anything like him over there. Michael's unstoppable, but Michael had to be a point guard. He had to be everything, but Charles was just unbelievable. And the only thing that we were hoping for was Charles wasn't going to punch anyone, in the games or anything. But I think some guys are just made for the FIBA game. Barkley, Carmelo, Durant. I think those guys are. So I think I would not put past KD wanting to play. He's going to try to hoop it up. I don't care how old he is. He'll want to play in LA.
He
And
loves the game.
he'll fill it up too. I don't care who's
Absolutely.
on the team, he'll fill it up. And it's going to be a real change in the guard player wise, talent wise, I think, but we're going to have a nice squad still. a
Well,
nice one.
speaking of KD, he took a 30 million discount on this contract extension. He was eligible to sign for 120 million, but he took 90 million. This allows the Houston Rockets to re-sign Tari Eason and have some flexibility to add some pieces in free agency next summer. They were projected to be 80 million below the second apron for next season. But what's crazy about this, right, is Kevin Durant, with this contract extension, has now surpassed LeBron James in career earnings in NBA history.
How
He's
about
at
that?
598.2 million. LeBron's at 583.9 million. KD still has 3 years and 144.7 million left on his contract. But just the way that the contracts are structured and stuff, it's insane that LeBron's played from 2003, KD played from 2007, and yet KD's earned more because of the timings of his contracts with, new TV deals kicking in, so on and so forth. His team, Rich Kleiman and all those guys around him have been instrumental in making all of this money. But just some of these contracts now in the NBA, ridiculously insane amounts of money when you talk about, there's,
Said by the football guy in Europe. Yeah, said by the football guy,
Do you
where
know
we
what it
saw
is? Do you know what I
yesterday
think
the
the
number one
difference?
football player in the world is still Ronaldo at 280 million per year.
But should I tell you what the difference is? And
Yeah.
this is the only difference between football contracts and basketball contracts. When they report on an NBA contract, right, they will
Yes.
report KD signed 90 million for 2 years. When they report on football contracts, they will say this player has signed for 200K a week. And most people don't do the math of what 200K a week really means. Do you know what I
Right.
mean? Like,
Yeah.
it's literally just the phrasing of how the contracts are
I did not
reported.
know that. That's
Yeah,
cool.
so it's like a player was signed for this much a week, and then yeah, they're making
That's what isn't that
they're
crazy?
making 10.4 million a year, but even that doesn't touch. That's like a mid-level NBA salary, and that's a good football salary. But KD on the
But
Rockets, we used.
I think if I can interrupt you on KD, the first and second apron, which is salary cap terminology for the whole team, this is going to affect the players' contracts going downwards. Otherwise, you put yourself in the position that the Celtics had gotten into, where they went over that they can't make any roster moves. So you're going to see things like that for the good of the team. And frankly, if you have a player like KD, who really he's a single guy, he loves the hoop, and if you say, you can make 45 million a year, or you can hold out for this, that means you don't want to win, and then you're a free agent next year. We really can't go forward then if you're not willing to do that. So he's a great teammate, a great team player, and that's why Rich Kleiman is incredible partner and him do things like that. And that's where, again, Raphael Stone is a real star in what he's doing, juggling this incredible operation that they got in Houston now with a highly ascendant talent rate.
Coach, have you watched any of the Starting Five show on Netflix?
I have not, but I know it's on there. I'm prepping for this show. I haven't had a
They're
chance yet.
following Kevin Durant, so it could have been part of your prep. You could have blagged it as that you were doing some work when your wife asked what you're doing. You could have said that this is research.
Okay.
But it is really good. They're following Kevin Durant. They've got James Harden, Jaylen Brown, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Tyrese Haliburton, which was really fortunate for them that those two guys went to a game seven of the NBA Finals, and it's two of the guys that they
Right.
picked. I watched the first episode, really interesting, really insightful, and you get to see just how much, especially guys like KD, love the game of basketball. So that's definitely worth a watch for
No,
yourself and all of our
that I
listeners.
love those shows and all the sports that they do them in, and Netflix. Those people do an incredible job. Omaha Productions was probably involved in this. I don't know.
I think it was
Just,
Uninterrupted that made Starting Five. So that's LeBron's company.
oh, LeBron.
He was in
Interesting.
season one. So, other news from around the league. Malcolm Brogdon retired in news that was somewhat surprising to a lot of people. It was hilarious. The way that, me and BJ would always laugh about this. Whenever we post the video, immediately after something that drastically changes the content of the video goes wrong. So, like, we posted the video on social media talking about the Knicks offseason moves, and I'm there chirping up, like, oh, Malcolm Brogdon as well, great addition. And 30 minutes after I posted that video on Instagram, I get the notification that Malcolm Brogdon has retired. But Malcolm Brogdon, a very solid NBA career, very solid NBA player, and great guy off the court.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm really surprised. The only thing I can think of is maybe he saw that His body wasn't reacting because he wanted to live in New York. He wanted to experience playing in New York every time, which is it's a bucket list type of thing to be in the Garden for every home game that you have. It's surreal almost. And with a good team, it's even better. And so I'm surprised. The only thing I can think is that it's probably physically really he's not at his best and knew he wasn't really going to play at all. That's the only thing I can think of. No, but I don't know anything.
Yeah, well, shout out to Malcolm Brogdon every time. Sixth man of the
Oh,
year winner a
absolutely.
couple of years back. Fantastic player. Another fantastic player that got signed this week, Russell Westbrook, year 18, signing with the Sacramento Kings. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about Russell Westbrook. We've spoken about Russell on this show over the years. I know people are searching for footage of what we'd say about Russell Westbrook, but the thing about Russ is he loves to compete and he loves to play hard. And I think that's valuable to any team. And that's what I will say on that.
I love him. 18 years, you know. I mean, the thing about him is MVP, triple double. I mean, him and Oscar Robertson and the word triple double are synonymous. This guy competes every night, but he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, I just think, whenever you can add a really great person, a great competitor, and someone that can really show the young players on your team what it takes to be great in this league, that is a huge asset for a team. So kudos to the Kings.
Absolutely. Coach, was there any other news from around the NBA this week that you wanted to catch up on just before the season begins?
Jeez, now, is this a trick question?
No.
No, good.
Anything else that's caught your eye?
No, I think the biggest thing is that I always worry about in the preseason the injuries that occur. Because I think I don't have any medical reasons why it happens, but I think the big thing is that players go from, at the end of the season, most of them don't play. They just work out with their trainers to stay fit and also to work on their offensive game. And now all of a sudden you get thrown into an NBA preseason game or something, and the intensity is off the charts. You're playing defense for the first time in 5 months, and your body is asked to do things. And I hate when guys get hurt in the preseason. It's unfortunate. It's one of the worst things in all of sport. Your football, my football, basketball, anything, any team sport. I just hate when guys get hurt because we don't see their athletic greatness.
I don't know if you saw this thing kind of random. Did you see in China they developed a glue that can fix broken bones within 3 hours?
No comment of us. No
Right.
comment
So
about
if they can repair broken bone in 3 hours, right, I just think that in like 20, 30 years from now, we're going to live in a world where guys get injured, go to the locker room, they get whatever the hell that has been developed, and they just come back out for the second half. How about that? Like, it's going to be a wild reality that we're living in. Coach,
We'll have to get one of those guys from China on to talk about that. That'd be
I'm
good.
gonna have to get him on to fix my knees. How about that? Maybe I'll make it to
Finally, okay.
the league, finally. Coach, when you were coaching in the league, did you have any superstitions, any traditions before the season got underway?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, once it really, the first game and everything, back then we had to wear suits, and stuff every game. No more just casual attire, which I absolutely love to be able to coach in. But you're out there, and so you get a haircut. And all of a sudden, you're lucky enough to win 2 games in a row, 3 games in a row. But now it's time to get another haircut. I would never get my hair cut until we lost a game. We were once in the playoffs, and I was working with this incredible coach, Kevin Lockery, with the Hawks. And we're playing the Celtics, Bird, Parrish, those guys, world champs. And we're playing back then, first round, 3-game series. It's 1-1. We're going back there for game three, Boston Garden on a Sunday. And I said to Kevin Lockery, I said, Kevin, did you wear your lucky jacket? He had a beautiful tweed, brown tweed sport jacket. He never lost a game wearing it. I said, Kevin, where's your jacket? He said, "Do you think I'm going to ruin the record of this jacket playing in Boston Garden Game 3 again?" So, yeah, so coaches do have the superstitions, absolutely.
I just did a little search online, coach, and I can definitely see some games where you've refused to get your hair cuts. I can see the
Oh yeah,
sides
no,
getting a little long.
pretty stunning, actually. Back then, the Beatles and me, we were pretty
I
good
see the vision. I see the
at,
vision. Well, the season gets underway this week. I'm super excited for it. It's going to
Me
be
too.
nonstop action, and we are going to be bringing you everything you need to know from around the world of the NBA every single Monday. And every Thursday, we have some very special guests. Now, coach, are we going to give them a clue as to who this week's guest is?
I'll give them a tiny one,
Okay.
very tiny. In my many years of coaching, I coached him.
That narrows it down to about 10,000 players.
On six teams, on six teams, but I also coached two NBA All-Star games and the Dream Team. So
Oh, so
there's more pretty good.
we
We're
talking
talking
high
some
level
pretty,
hoops.
we're talking 29 NBA. Another clue. I have 29 players I've been fortunate enough to coach that are in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's week two of the season, coach. Are we getting Hall of Famers on the show already?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Ooh, I guess you guys better set your alarms for Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time, because you do not want to miss this episode. I promise you, it's absolutely, having the chance to talk to legends like Coach Sir and also some of his friends that come on the show is beyond belief. So please do subscribe to the show so you don't miss the episode. Turn on notifications so you get notified. It's only two episodes a week now, but the value of these episodes and what you're going to hear, it's off the scale. It's off the charts. So stay locked in. Coach, I appreciate you as always. Have a great
Thank you.
week. We'll be
Thank
back
you.
next Monday to talk more NBA, and we'll talk throughout the week as the season gets rolling. And for my fans in the UK, tune into the Celtics Knicks on Friday night. You might hear something good. That's all I'll say on that. Until next time, subscribe to the show and get buckets.